While preparing my presentation, so first of all, to answer the question which is in front of us here, can an ideological appeal mobilize civic support in Baltic states? The short answer is, of course it can. But then it needs to have all the mechanisms and needs to have the mobilization which you were referring to behind there, so that people can really go and follow their ideas. So therefore, while looking on what is going on in Latvia, basically my take was looking on the events from the point of view starting at 2004 and 1st of May when we became members of the EU as some kind of starting point where we can start from. But basically, if you look across the board, what was at that time in Latvia, most of the political parties, perhaps with exception of the Latvian Socialist Party at that time, they all supported the Latvian membership in the EU. So there was basically no discussion. So everyone was for that. And that was taken for granted because such values as solidarity, equality, state as such was never mentioned, even though it is a certain value. I will come back to that a little bit later. And last but not least, also finally the value as returning back to the Europe. So basically it's a traumatic experience of Soviet occupation was pretty much there, so therefore it determined Latvian, same as many other Central and Eastern European countries, wish to return back to the European family, which it was taken away by force, even though there might be different political interpretations or historic interpretations how it really happened. Nevertheless, if we look on what was the precondition for Latvian accession to the EU, it was the acquis communautaire. Acquis communautaire, in the last report on September in 2003, just prior the referendum took place where overwhelmingly the population said yes, basically, there were certain things which should have made any policymaker rather wary. The points which were there, they said rather explicitly that the Latvian economy, the structure of Latvian economy, is still rather weak, so it has to double efforts to make its economic system sustainable within the EU. And even more importantly, it said that the Latvian political system has shortcomings. So it is prone to corrupt system. But at the same time, there was this very positive notion saying that, okay, at least there is a corruption prevention bureau created, and it would solve the possible corruption problems while being a member of the EU. So in a way, it was kind of forward-looking, in a way, similar way of looking on these problems as it was before Greece became member of EU in 1982 or Portugal and Spain in 1986, thinking that, okay, those are those post-authoritarian regime countries while being in a European family of states. Little by little, they will come in and the problems will be solved. But basically what we see in Latvia in 2006, there are the ominous elections in October, parliamentary elections, which are basically finishing on a verge being declared insolvent because it created really a particular case when a group of academics and some political forces contested the outcome of the parliamentary elections 2006 in the Supreme Court. And Supreme Court was very narrowly from declaring the elections null and void because there were gross violations of the parliamentary election procedures, and it created also precedent because Supreme Court also declared that those parties who violated the elections, they must to redeem those ills done, and which has created quite a long political procedure. But what I want to say here about the topic, what is more common for us here to discuss, is that it mobilized all the political forces, and it basically opened Pandora's box to progressives, left-right-leaning forces, centrist forces. At the same time, the political transformations which started coming from those events of 2006 and then most ominously so-called Cappuccino or Umbrella Revolution of 2007, basically as one thing is response to the gross violations of elections 2006, the second thing is that at the same time what we could witness in Latvia at that time already, we could witness consolidation of the left parties, at least in the Russophone population. So the Center Party, the Harmony Center Party, and the Daugavpils Party, Daugavpils City Party, if I'm not mistaken, they merged in the political union, and that consolidation also sent tremors to the political establishment, which made also the right-wing forces to go together. So overall, what we can speak about the events in 2004 starting through the 2006 and all the way to today, we can say that basically all the way till March 2009 we see the inertia of the oligarchic policy, which is being embedded starting from the first post-independence free elections in 1993. So that was the year where basically the first post-independence free elections took place. At the same time, it was also, in a way, kind of the stepping stone for creating ethnically divided, in a way, unique party political system on the European scale, which divided Latvian political system between the right-wing, so-called Latvian-speaking parties, and the left-wing, so-called Russian-speaking political parties, which in a way was feeding on itself, and the ethnic issues became as a founding stone for the whole political process, where marginal forces from the both sides were feeding on each other, and prior elections were simply getting political support, getting representation in the parliament, and a determinant in the political process, which didn't leave much leeway for neither progressive ideas nor the consolidation and sustainability of the state. So here I come to the issue of the state, because if you look on the progressives or social democrats, they all have as a one of the basic values is a state. But what we witnessed starting from the early 90s, we witnessed gradual disappearance of the state. So basically the disappearance of the state, the embedding of a neoliberal agenda basically determined that the market values were the predominant ones and were basically going on uncontested till basically we can say that till March of 2009, when finally democratic forces were gradually gaining back some say in Latvian parliament. Then we have after these revolutionary events, so quasi-revolutionary events of 2007, we see that there are the parliamentary elections of 2010, when again the Harmony Center, which at least it proclaims itself as a social democratic, gets almost a third of the parliamentary representation. After the snap elections, it gets again a third of the parliamentary representation. But due to the fact that the party political system is ethnically determined in Latvia, we basically have an absolutely fractional left-wing or progressive wing, and the lack of cooperation amongst the progressives basically doesn't allow the progressive ideas to flourish. So what do we have here? We have here obviously the question. So how come if the Harmony Center as one of the predominant ones on the left is having a third of the parliamentary representation, why aren't they gaining ground at least in the governmental policies? Why don't the progressive ideas prevail in society? What is the problem? Answer is twofold. First of all, Latvian political system, because of the problems I mentioned before, basically is unsustainable. So the collapse of the big state, which was unreformed, was unsustainable, basically had to be reformed. There are different mechanisms to reform the all outmoded models of state governments. Either it's economic system, the basic material infrastructure, or it's the schooling system, or the university system, or police system, the tax code, and basic welfare benefits. All these systems were founded for the certain number of people, but without a proper planning and without proper discussion between left and right wing political parties, basically policies were uncontested and followed basically into the line of technocrats at the civil service determining the policy outcomes, which stagnated the whole of the political edifice which existed in Latvia, I would say, till March of 2009, since when we can basically see the policy contestation coming back in the Latvian body politics. So therefore, if we speak about the ability of the progressive values to gain ground in Latvia, my answer is yes, 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 because the state is coming gradually back. We see the values of equality, values of liberty are still there. At the same time, it's the question how the progressive political groups, because at that time, the present moment, we have a rather hierarchical Harmony Center Party. We have, let's say, honestly, bankrupt Latvian Social Democratic Workers Party, and we have multitude of different smaller or bigger groups of political forces. So now the question is, how come we can reach the results which are there? One thing is what, for example, I didn't hear the Estonian representative speaking here, but from the small presentation I heard before, I presume that you already discussed, but Estonians, what they did differently was starting from the early 90s, same as Latvian Social Democratic Workers Party started with the mentors in Sweden, with the Selyul working in Stockholm, being part of Socialist International. They got the ground with the comrades in Sweden. They got the benefits of cooperation, getting relations in the Western Social Democratic parties. Latvian Social Democratic Workers Party didn't capitalize on it, and then it squandered. So here, probably, the younger members of the already former members of the Latvian Social Democratic Workers Party, Ansis and Ervins, can afterwards add to that because they were part of that process. And basically, it was there, but it was squandered. At the same time, Estonians capitalized it, and now we see the result that the Estonian Social Democratic Party is one of the rising stars on the Estonian political stage. So here, this Western know-how, not creating your own bicycle, but following the best examples to emulate, this really distinguishes Latvia from Estonia and Lithuania. Actually, quite interestingly, I remember the summer school, I think it was back in 2007, with Elmar Remchik, at that time Friedrich Heber Stiftung, a regional head, where Estonian and Lithuanian young Social Democratic Party members, I think Piret was there as well in Ruoja at summer. And it was quite interesting. Imagine it was just 2007, 5 years ago. There were no Latvian young Social Democrats represented. And then I asked Elmar, why aren't they there? And his answer was rather simple, because Mr. Bojars didn't allow them to go there. And imagine it, just 5 years ago, it was such a Stalinist. Let's be honest, it's the Stalinist ideology. You cannot run parties in the 21st century like this anymore. So these are the remnants of what Latvian Social Democrats have lived through. And basically, those are the problems to be solved, because if Social Democrats or the left parties want to work together, if they want to get the act together, they must merge their forces. If they don't merge their forces, there is no chance of getting broad support and getting the message out into the broader spectrum of society. Here is another issue which while in my presentation I fortunately couldn't get it because I was in a rush and I couldn't print it out. But there is another thing which is not only a problem for a Latvian social democratic or left forces, but it's also for the rest of the Latvian political spectrum. But one thing is there is absolutely no think tanks which would work on the ideological issues. So therefore, most of the political parties which are represented in the parliament, they are centrist forces which tend to simply use catch-all principles to getting bigger electoral support. So, which is another argument saying that if you go out with a clear-cut ideological agenda where social democratic values are there, there is no problem. Obviously, yes, you can get the civic support because, especially if you look in Latvia now, this niche is still open because from the one point Latvia lacks European social democratic representation in the parliament, on parliamentary level. At the same time, existing the left forces which we have represented in the parliament basically are not democratic if we speak about the liberal democratic description of what democracy means, because political parties basically must aggregate their policy preferences to have their policies spoken out. But if political parties are simply as adjuncts of a certain leaders and some party leaders are the ones who determine the policy outputs, then we cannot speak about democratic political parties. So those are the problems. If those problems can be overcome, then comes in the inputs which create ideological appeal. Then comes the input of the progressive values. And here, solidarity, meaning that overcoming the inequalities in society. And one interesting thing in Latvia is, and it is similar in Estonia as well, and also in Lithuania, that while traditionally social democratic parties been taking care of the urban not so well off part of society, then now predominantly, particularly after the 2003, we see a pauperization of the rural poor. So the rural poor, the dilapidation of the infrastructure on the countryside in the small towns, the rural people flocking either to the capital city and making Riga as a unique constellation also amongst the European member states, because usually when we compare countries, we usually have some balance between the capital city and the rest of the country. In Latvian case, perhaps we could be compared only with a Portugal, when almost half of population is in the Lisbon agglomeration area. The same, almost more than half of Latvian population is in a 50-kilometer circle around the Riga. Rest of the Latvia is basically empty space which provides maybe some recreational activities. Certainly many possibilities if we speak about the green energy, which I also touched in my paper, but I will not elaborate on that perhaps in the Q&A session a bit more about that. But yes, so rural poor is another the part of society that Social Democratic Party in Latvia could pay attention. And last but not least, finally, it's also the question of equality or the equal opportunities. And here it's the interesting issue. It's the easiest to go and say government doesn't do this or that, but at the same time, if you look on the problems which existed in Latvia, and if you look at the solutions which have been provided by the existing government or the political parties who are represented in parliament, then there are certainly a reform agenda which could be emulated. If you look on the schooling reform or the university reform, certainly it's something which is important because it gives us the state back. So whenever we see that the state is coming back, I believe it's beneficial for progressives. One thing is we don't know yet, because it's not clearly formulated, how the higher education reform looks like, because apparently it seems that it could turn out as a neoliberal project, simply copycatting the Australian or the British model. If that's the case, then certainly Social Democrats coming as their model, saying that higher education should be free for all, because it should provide equal opportunities for all the prospective students, regardless of their social background. So that is something to capitalize on. But at the same time, if you speak about these equal opportunities, they also must include equal payment for the woman, because all the research shows for the last 15 years that women receive 15 to 20% less salaries than men in this country. It would also should strive to overcome the problem of the pre-pension age people to get into the job market. So here is one niche which is absolutely unused, and which also Latvian trade unions don't do. Is one thing is to go and negotiate in a trilateral commission for higher salaries and speak about the need to have a solidary payment. Another thing is to be proactive and to retrain the teachers or the vocational school teachers or the university lecturers. So this is the niche which is absolutely open and unused. So we speak about the equal opportunities, you also have to work for that. So here, Social Democrats being always good at providing the cooperative techniques, providing the idea how the homeowners associations could be created in the big houses where they have problems of basic insulation when they are paying too much for the central heating and so on and so forth. This is a natural area of social democratic forces, what usually conservatives or liberals don't do at all, because they don't pay attention, they don't even care about that, they don't think it's important. So those are all these niches which are open for Latvian social democrats and which could be utilized. Simply here, what I want to finish is that the values are there, but the first thing is to get the act together, because if you have such a fractional representation, there is no way that you can get this act together. This is the first thing. The second thing is, at the same time, the program must be worked by all the political party members, because if there is some guys who are working on the program, so-called ivory tower, it's good, but for most of the rank and file members, it's unexplainable, because they don't understand what are nuts and bolts. The idea for political parties is to work together in working groups to provide the ideas, and then they can also provide policy outputs. If this happens this way, when all the party members are involved, then also this program is tangible, explainable, easily deliverable for the population, and then those values can go out, and then you can get the people behind, and you can start recruiting not only the new members for the political cause, but also to train your own members for becoming better and becoming leaders of the prospective progressive parties. So that's it. I wanted to deliver in a nutshell. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for bringing also new elements to the discussion that we've had this morning. I think something that was touched already in the first presentation and briefly slided to yours was this question of role of the think tanks and the question of intellectual mood. So Chicago School was mentioned in the very first part, and I think it's still remains in terms of economical faculties, the way we teach our students economy, the way we teach our students to think about the contemporary world. And as long as this is the case, as long as there is no other alternative, the liberal thinking will be a prevailing one. And I think here the progressive think tank's responsibility, I would even call it, is an immense one. The second thing, I think active state has been also coming throughout all the presentations. I have to say that personally I have this kind of an interesting observation that when I started my politically conscious life, I was entire time told that actually there should be an active state that activate everyone, but actually it is Europe that will deliver. Now with the incredible crisis in confidence towards Europe and saying that state is no longer there, I think that if I wasn't a passionate social democratic member and voter, I think I would have a lot of difficulties with putting that, and this is a sort of remaining as a gap in the social democratic problems. And maybe coming back to the, because we spoke a bit about the equality and equal opportunities, and you've mentioned very important thing, namely education, but also jobs. I would put it even in the broader context of jobs, education and care, because of course in terms of the payment or salaries or income, this is very much dependent on what is being provided by the state that we are discussing about. So it's becoming in the same time sort of related. If you go outside, there is, I'm not inviting you to do it now, because now it's the exciting part when we will open the floor to everyone to take part in the debate. There is an issue of Queries, our scientific magazine, lying outside, so you are free to take it or to download it from our website. And one of the issues we touch upon is the question of the domestic work, which is an issue that is completely in a grey zone, because it's aside from contractual agreements, with the ageing society and with the participation of women in the labour market, so all in spirit of equality, there is a growing need for the domestic work. And as such, we are creating here with a sort of a class that is somewhere in between private and state dealing, and it's not regulated and not having the rights that social democracy has been fighting for such a long time. And maybe the last thing, and here I will open the floor for the input, is this question of how the values should translate into the way we formulate our movement. You mentioned the example of the Summer University and the question of the pluralism and democracy within within the movement. I think this is precisely the case. If you become a member of the party nowadays and you are a young person, what is that you can get? Socialist education is no longer what we have in DNA of the movement. The ideological discussion, except such as this one, are no longer that much in the place, because everything happens in the turmoil of the everyday politics. So basically, if you enter, I remember my times of entering when I was very privileged to firstly go through the youth organization, but regularly you come in and you say, that's very good you are here, you will be my, depending whom you meet, my vote in the local section. And you can also come in postering the posters. And that's pretty much what you get being a young member of the party. As long as we don't have transposition of democracy, equality, solidarity, progress in terms of the membership, I think that the parties will be declining. And this is the problem of the Western social democracy, that if we look at the voters, the core voters are no longer there, because this collective identification is weaker and weaker, while in the same time, young people are either not involved in politics or definitely not buying the idea of care the way we put it forward in terms of solidarity. I open up. This is democratic agenda. So now, I mean, all the speakers spoke. You are more than welcome to challenge. Please say your name so like that we can refer back to you. Yes, go ahead.